Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Death Stuff. Before we start, I think it's worth mentioning that this is not a podcast that will be suitable for children or the faint of heart. So you can expect gore, horror, crime, science fiction, the occult, and everything will be heavily laced with swearing because I, for one, have the mouth of a sailor. So yes, we will be discussing things that we find fascinating, but equally we understand that they are atrocious and horrible things that have happened. So bear in mind that our aim is not to glamorize any of the subject matter. We're only discussing it from the perspective of two self-professed idiots in the hope that some other people may find us as funny as we find ourselves, but we never know. Let's see how it goes. So now that the trigger warning is out of the way, I thought that we should do a little introduction about your hosts. So we are two 30-something spooky kid best friends of over 15 years who live on opposite ends of the country. One of us, me, Bonita, is a podcast and true crime enthusiast, whereas the other one, Mika. Hi, Mika.
Hello. I am just the idiot, I guess. Or your henchman.
Well, I'd actually written a nice little blurb about you, which was, Mika is a fabulously silly cat father of three entrepreneur boss bitch who has never listened to a podcast in his life. So this should be interesting. It's either going to work really well or be a complete disaster.
That's kind of just, the excitement of not knowing. That's
exactly
my virginal ears and mouth.
I'm
full of
lie, but anyway.
Excitement and trepidation here.
So for our first episode, my boyfriend actually suggested exploring all of the torture methods of yesteryear. So that is what we're going to do today. At this point, I did want to play the infamous Wu-Tang sample about torture, but I looked into music licenses and we can't afford that. So you're just going to have to imagine it.
Send us money for next time and we'll play some music for you.
Exactly. Okay, so Mika, today I'm going to be teaching you about various contraptions and torture methods. Some of them I think you will have heard of, others you definitely won't have heard of, because when I was researching this, I had never heard of them. And what we're going to do is rate them on a scale as we go, so that at the end we can determine which method is the worst and which we would like to inflict upon our worst enemies, basically.
Okay, I was thinking like on a scale of 1 to 10 of like which one I would like the most, so...
I mean, it's pretty much the opposite of that, but okay. If that's what you want to do, then whatever floats your boat.
What's your favourite way of being tortured?
I mean, a lot of them involve the butthole, so, you know. So for each method, I would like you to rate them on a scale of 10, obviously 10 being the worst.
Okay.
But for the two, there's going to be two categories. So one of them is pain level and the other one is originality.
Okay.
So, right. Where do we begin? Let's see. Also bear in mind that I got lost in the research and was up until about 4 a.m. looking at all of this stuff. There are so many torture methods that are just insane.
I think that there are, so many ways to inflict pain and also fear into other people that everyone has their own fear triggers and, you know, different like thresholds of pain and different areas of the body. So this could be quite interesting to see if we agree on anything.
And I think, one aspect about physical torture that I hadn't really, because obviously I don't sit at home thinking about torture, I'd never really considered this before, but even the physical torture, a lot of it is a psychological thing as well.
Yeah.
There will be kind of torture methods or instruments that visually they'd kind of added certain things to, which had no function other than to just intimidate the victim or the person on the receiving end. I'm going to refer to them as victims because I don't think anyone deserves any of this stuff, no matter how awful the... Well, actually, no, that's a lie. Like, if you're a paedophile, then you definitely deserve some of this stuff. But anyway, I digress.
I would say that if you just stuck the word 2020 onto any of these implements, it would be infinitely more scary now.
Yeah, definitely. 2020 was just like a whole torturous event.
This is just torture.
Yeah, it's nowhere near over. So yeah, great.
Great.
Okay, so let's begin. The first torture device, tell me if you've heard of it. It's called the Pear of Anguish.
No, that sounds like a poem I would have written when I was 15, though. Pear. Is it a pear as in the fruit? Because that's immediately what I'm thinking.
Yes, that is correct.
So, right, okay. So it's a fruit of anguish.
So what if, I mean, what comes to mind other than the fruit?
Okay, so in my mind, like, going really off-piste, it's just a horrible orchard of pears where you walk through and they're like really sad trees, but I don't think that's what it is.
I really like where your brain took that, but it's wrong. It's all wrong.
It's kind of like the you know, in Neverending Story when the horse drowns in the mud, like I would envision that kind of orchard, but I'm guessing it's, I feel like it's instantly something that goes up your bum.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit now about the Pear of Anguish. Okay. So the Pear of Anguish was a medieval European torture device, and it was forged of four iron petals that are centered around an iron thread. So when the petals are closed, it resembles the shape of a pear.
Okay.
It kind of, to me, it looked like a dummy, or for American people, a pacifier, but like,
okay,
an iron I can pear.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, basically a butt plug.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay,
and it's got like a kind of little handle on the top in the same sort of style as a wine opener, a bottle opener.
Okay.
So, when it's closed, it resembles the shape of a pear. It has the handle at the top. And then when you turn the handle, the petals would open up.
Oh, no. Yep.
So, once the petals were fully open, it actually expands the width by threefold.
Oh.
And as you can imagine, if that's in any orifice, it's then stretching your body and...
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just making like real physical reaction to this. It's the word orifice. No, not at all. Just thinking which orifice would be the worst.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
So it was used in the mouth if you're a heretic, but it was used in the rectum or the vagina if you were homosexual or a witch.
Huh.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, both of which are quite similar things.
When I was looking into the different methods of torture, I came across an interesting mini documentary about various methods, and they actually had like 3D renderings of certain things and human bodies showing the reaction, the effect on the body, essentially. And they also brought in specialists to talk about, you know, what they would actually do if we were to use them now.
Yeah, I feel like the shredding of your innards is pretty much like you're gonna die from that, right?
Yeah, I guess you could put the pear in and open it ever so slightly for
a little bit. Oh god, yeah. I mean, you've thought about this. I'm thinking just I'm going all in, pears open, I'm dead, but you're like prolonging this.
Yeah, I'm trying to enjoy the experience.
So, the pair of anguish, I guess.
So on this documentary, I just want to reference it so that everyone's aware where I got the information. It's called Ancient Discoveries, Ancient Torture. And I found that, I think it's on Daily Motion or on YouTube, if anybody wants to watch that. It's pretty cool. They enlisted a dentist to discuss the result of having the pear inserted into the mouth. So this lady said that the sheer weight of the pear was likely to fracture the teeth. And as we know, the nerves in the mouth area are some of the most sensitive in the body. So I think that's when you're initially putting it into the mouth, because it's such a large shape. You have to really shove it in there.
Okay.
So that's already going to be fucking up your teeth. And also, this reminded me of the time that I had a tooth pulled without anaesthetic. I don't know if I ever told you that story.
A lot of this podcast already is going to be me going,
and then everyone has to work out if it's groans of pleasure or pain.
Yeah. Okay. So you had a tooth pulled. What happened?
So I had a molar that needed to come out, and I think I must have been about 11. And I went to the dentist. My mum was there. They gave me the fat injection. I was so nervous. I was really, really scared. And the dentist then got this massive pair of pliers and just started yanking out my tooth. But I was screaming and crying and, you know, begging this person to stop and looking at my mom and being like, why are you letting this happen to me? And the dentist was like, oh, you know, she's had the anesthetic. It's just the pressure. She can just feel the pressure.
Yeah.
And the screaming
pain.
Yeah. So they were convinced everything, you know, this is as it's meant to be. But the screaming gets louder and I'm quite clearly hysterical at this point and in a lot of pain. My mom eventually made him stop, and blah, 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 blah. I ended up at a dental hospital where they had told my mum that when your adrenaline is so high, it can actually cancel out the anesthetic.
Yeah.
So where I was so nervous, it essentially rendered the anesthetic useless.
So you'd rate this one quite high then, wouldn't you, I guess? Like, just from the experience, maybe?
Exactly. And we haven't even begun yet. So this is just the tip of the iceberg of the pain. So, yeah, fun little story there about my trauma.
I had a tooth pulled, and it was one of my wisdom teeth, and it had a hook in the end. The dentist said he had never seen such a thing in all his life. so that made me feel really special.
When you say a hook, like...
Yeah, so it was like a little, like, it had a little tail which was hooked into my gum.
Oh,
obviously
my God.
You can't see this, so, yeah, I can't really describe it. But I guess it looks like one of those shower gels that you'd hang up in the shower. Except it was in my face.
That sounds horrific. Did you get to keep the tooth?
No, he wouldn't let me.
What a fucking bastard.
I
don't understand that. You know when you, like... Because we need 1,000 Mikas. I find it really weird that, like, if you have surgery and they're removing a part of your body, they won't let you keep it.
I know.
Because, I'm sorry, but I grew that. It's mine.
Yeah, and also I could just take it off myself. I could take it out.
You could.
And then what's to stop me taking out my own teeth and keeping them?
And then you could just make, like, a necklace or a belt, like,
out of my own teeth. Anyway, right. Shall I score this one?
No, there's so much more. I haven't even begun, really. So, blah, blah, blah. Where are we? So, yes, once the bulb has been inserted into the mouth, the next stage would be, obviously, to expand the petals by turning the handle. And what this would do would actually start pushing your teeth away from the gums, and they would become dislodged. Also, as the pair is expanding, it's opening your mouth and your jaw to a point where it's not meant to open that much. So what happens is your jaw then becomes dislocated. So all of this trauma that's happening in the front of your mouth, and the fact you've got this fuck off massive piece of iron in your face, it would also start to cause swelling in the back of your throat. Oh. So your airway can actually close up, which obviously makes breathing difficult. And due to the sheer weight of the contraption itself, it would be putting immense pressure on your windpipe. So all of the above would impact the oxygen level in your blood, and that's called hypoxia, which is a new word that I learned yesterday. And hypoxia basically starts just fucking up all of your major organs, so your brain, your heart, etc. So the result of this is that you could potentially go into cardiac arrest and then die that way whilst in excruciating agony from all the shit that's happening in the front of your mouth.
Oh,
So they didn't talk about the impacts of it going into your bum, but...
Oh God, I've had enough already of this one. I can feel it already.
I don't think Mika wants to do this podcast anymore.
No, I do. But, I mean, I can imagine. I can imagine. I think I've seen that video anyway.
It definitely exists somewhere in, like, the depths of the internet.
Not even that deep, to be honest.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, you can imagine what it does to your butthole, and I'm pretty sure you would die. If it expands to the point it's like 3 times bigger than the existing width, then
that's it's quite the sharpness
literally
tearing
as well. You a new one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not good. I mean, yeah, I do. So, I have some thoughts. I have a score
like
already,
them?
Really. Yeah. So I think on the pain threshold, that's going to be a winner for me, because it's quite a blunt force trauma that's happening, isn't it, in your face. And just boggles the mind. But on originality, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm a child of this century and everything that people do seems to revolve around blowing something up inside of themselves. So
when I worked in the sex shop, there was a whole wall dedicated to stuff basically that sounds like the pear, but just made out of rubber. So you'd inflate them with air inside of you, and you know, people love them. No judgment here. Yeah. Whatever floats
so,
your boat.
I guess originality is probably like on a 5 for me, because
okay,
it's more about just the pain.
Yeah.
But the pain, I'm gonna go 10, because okay, that sucks.
Okay, cool. All right, well, we've got our first score.
My goodness.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm now more nervous about what's going to come next.
I mean, yeah, it gets worse. But anyway, this one's...
Great.
In my opinion, the next one isn't as bad, but
okay.
I don't know. It's all subjective, isn't it? So let's see.
Having said that, listeners, let's see if Bonnie feels the same way after describing it.
Exactly.
And if she would like to have it used on herself.
Okay, so moving on to torture method number 2. It's called the rack. Have you heard of the rack?
I feel like I may have, actually. Are you being... Shall I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like you're laying out on the floor and your limbs are tied up and they are being slowly pulled apart.
That is almost exactly right.
Ah, is it?
Yeah, other than they are on a structure
and
not the floor.
Oh, okay. There's not there doesn't have to be an axe swinging above them as well, does there?
No, but that just has given me a glimpse into the way that your mind works.
So, weirdly, being a child of Southend-on-Sea, there used to be a display outside Peter Pan's playground of this exact device. Which now seems really weird. You know when you say things and you realise how weird they are. So on the seafront, there was a glass display cabinet of a man being pulled apart by ropes. You know, someone was twisting it so that they would obviously gently, slowly pull you asunder. But he would come, he would put his head up and then an axe would swing and he'd put his head down and... That was
wow. That's, I mean, that seems like a really bizarre choice of things to put outside a Peter Pan adventure playground for children. Have
wonder,
a lovely
you, really?
Family day out, but first of all, you need
I'm
to pass this
to
endurance
find,
test and
I'm
see if you can
find
stomach
an image
it.
Of that, yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Now, part of me thinks that I'm to a point that would be lovely.
Okay, no. Let me just stop you there, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you more about this contraption. And okay. also, for the listeners, explain to them in a bit more detail.
Sorry, listeners.
So, so the rack basically looks like a shitty wooden bed frame, but scarier and kinkier. The person would be tied down to the rack with rope, as Mika rightly guessed, with their hands at one end and their feet at the other. There would be the handle at one end, which would allow the person who's administering the torture, to tighten the rope, increasing the tension and pulling the body apart. It was a popular method of torture in ancient Greece, and they often used it on slaves to extract information from them or just, you know, be dicks to them. And the same documentary that I mentioned earlier also talked about this, and they brought in a trauma surgeon to talk us through the effect it would have had on the human body. So what they did, this was so bizarre as well to watch, they got a pig's leg joint, a pig's knee, because it's quite similar to the
trigger
the
warning
human.
Vegetarianism.
Yeah, I think we're past that, to be honest.
Like... Okay. I don't know. For some reason, it being a pig's leg is worse to me than a human.
Yeah. What did that pig ever do to deserve this?
I know.
Like, horrible. I love pigs. They're so cute. That's why I love you. So they then tied the knee into the rack and started to stretch it. So I'm unsure how familiar you are with the anatomy of a knee, but you have the muscles, you've got the hamstring underneath and the quads on top, and then you've got tendons that connect the muscles to the kneecap, and then there are ligaments which connect the bones to each other. So during the test, the tendon snaps, and it snapped quite quickly.
Oh, God.
They didn't seem to be putting much welly into it. Like, it happened quite soon on. And then what happened is the tendons then separate from the bone so that the kneecap is not attached to anything anymore. You've got really quiet for a second there.
Sorry, I'm just divulging that. Divulging? That's not the word. But I'm just absorbing that.
Dealing with processing.
We really are just, like, jelly infused around...
Gristle.
Bone, aren't we? Yeah.
Ugh, hideous.
Makes you realise a lot of things.
I when I start thinking about anatomy and, like, the human body, it kind of spins me out. I get really, like, freaked out. I'm like, this stuff is inside of me. It's
yeah, try
gross.
Not to. I just try not to think.
Well, I can't do that. So, where were we? Back to this lovely tale.
Pig's leg.
Also, bearing in mind that this pressure is, because it's pulling you apart, you've got so many blood vessels and arteries and veins and stuff, so there's a lot of blood happening under the surface. Yeah. I don't know at what point the blood starts to come out, but I envisioned lots of, like, blood bruises coming up, which they didn't have because
sort of
the
seeping.
Tendon... Yeah, the tendon itself was skin, so you could see the reaction and what exactly was going on under there. But anyway... So eventually, the bone actually fractured at its weakest point. The thing that I took away from this was how effortless it all looked and how quickly it all sort of happened.
You sound inspired almost, like you're very impressed, which is slightly worrying.
I think you know
The thing I liked about this, listeners, was how how efficient it all was.
I found it very soothing, hearing the cracking of the bones.
That's a new level of ASMR.
I was just about to say that. Just, like, put it on when you go to sleep to soothe you into sweet dreams.
Cracking bones.
Oh, gross. So, yeah, would you like to rate this? How do you feel?
Now, I am, and as you are, a person with a bad back. We are in our 30s, but also quite tall. So there's definitely a point where, you know, I feel like I would like to be pulled from one end to the other.
Right.
Hadn't really considered the bit where I snap apart. So pain. I just feel like it's not going to hurt. I know that's stupid.
Really?
It will, but I just... Right now, my neck hurts. And all I can think of is how much I'd like someone to do this to me.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, that's odd. Maybe a 3 pain.
Wow, okay. Yeah. So being literally torn apart from your joints is only a 3
it
for
honestly
you, but cool.
Sounds nice. Like... Sounds like a lovely deep massage. I can try it on you if you want.
Next time I see you.
Okay, I'm up for that. Great. That sounds good. I think the only time I'll ever feel satisfied is when my head actually comes away from my neck.
That can be arranged.
That's the kind of massage I need. And originality, it's, you know, 7.
Yeah, I didn't think it was... It's one of those ones that I feel everyone has heard of. So maybe we're desensitized to it a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's just normal.
Okay, so next up we have impalement.
Okay.
So...
I mean, obviously I know what that is because that's a word.
Yes, but...
Yeah.
there are many different types. So... For those who don't know, impaling is a tool. Well, nobody fucking knows this because this is a fact that I'm just spitting that I fucking wrote down. So impalement is a torture method that goes back at least 3,000 years. There are several different ways that you can impale the human body. But today we're going to be talking about the particular style created by none other than Vlad Dracula, a.k.a. Vlad the Impaler.
Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it, really? The birth giver of impalement would have it in his name, I guess.
So Vlad, I thought this was quite funny, he also had the nickname of Devil. Not even the Devil, just Devil.
Vlad Devil.
So just Devil
when,
man.
When his parents were naming him Vlad the Impaler, do you think they envisioned his future as... being an impaler?
I don't think that was on his birth certificate. His surname was actually Dracula, and I'm sure you know this already, but he inspired the story of Dracula.
Oh, I actually didn't know that. Which
oh well,
yeah. So that's, there you go. Well done on learning me something.
So he was a notoriously cruel and bloodthirsty man, which is why he inspired the Dracula story. But let me just tell you a little bit about how this method worked. So what they would do was they'd cut down a trunk of a tree and they would sharpen the tip. So they would then impale people onto this fuck off massive pine spike that would be lodged vertically into the ground, and the victim would be pierced through their anus all the way through their torso with the stick emerging from their mouth.
Wow.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Wow. I mean, they're alive as this happens.
Yes. And
how, I mean, my first thought is how long until you die? Sorry.
Well, there was quite a bit that I read about this. So I'll read you what I kind of wrote down, which is, according to written accounts, surprisingly, it took people a really long time to die, but they would purposefully maneuver the body down onto the spike in a way that prolonged the agonizing death. The legitimacy of these accounts has come into question with the knowledge that it would be really fucking difficult to precisely skewer the human body like a kebab without perforating major organs or driving through arteries and veins and stuff. But apparently the longest death recorded took 8 days.
That's awful. Yeah, I did think it wouldn't take long. Obviously, if you're sort of rammed onto it, then that's going to cause a lot of damage very quickly. But, I mean, being impaled for 8 days, I mean, firstly, did they feed him?
I don't imagine they care about how hungry he is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many questions, aren't there, really?
Could he even be hungry if he's got a massive spike going through his stomach?
I guess he would feel quite full up. but also, like, just like, you know, the day-to-day running of this thing. Like, did people talk to him? Was he okay? That's a week.
I reckon they're just in a field with like crows pecking their eyes and maybe people wandering by to have a little look.
Okay, yeah. I mean, God, things have really changed, haven't they, since Vlad's day? But I think so. That sounds really horrific. One of my worst fears in life is tripping and impaling my eyeball on something. When I know it's really specific, but when I lived in Camden, I used to walk around and there's a lot of like houses with spiked gates, and I was always afraid.
I know what you even mean.
Yeah, I was always afraid, even if I was walking like 2 feet away from them, that somehow I would trip on a leaf and land eye first onto a spike.
Those pesky leaves. So but also, you know, for the listeners, you have actually been impaled before, but on a wine bottle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been...
So...
Have I been impaled before? Oof.
I mean, not on your ass. Just to clarify to everybody, it wasn't in his butt. It was his hand.
It's really off-putting to anyone listening. So, yeah, should we just go and score this thing?
Yeah, go for it.
So it's a 10 on the pain for me. Definitely okay. A 10. Originality, though. I mean, people have been... I mean, it's probably the first method, besides strangulation, of killing another person, right? I guess. Like, we had sticks.
I wouldn't like to comment, because I might be completely wrong, but it does date back such a long
time. Well, as, you know, cave people would have had sticks more than... So, I'm guessing that impalation is not that original. So I'm going to give it a hefty 0.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Controversial.
Although I guess with the added layer of the tweaking of it, that gives it a 2.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a little spicing it up.
Yeah, I'm quite harsh with my scores. Method. Jazzing it up, yeah. Darling, would you like to be impaled this evening?
I mean, anyway.
Really jazzing up the bedroom there.
Oh, God. I knew this was going to be fun. So we've done 3 so far. This is our 4th. I didn't anticipate how interesting this would be and how much we would talk. So we might break this up into 2 episodes. And this, I think, is going to be our last torture method for today.
But we will do a part two. What we never anticipate in our lives as friends is just how fascinating we both are.
And how funny we are.
Yeah, you know.
So, can we score ourselves 10 out of 10?
For pain.
Definitely.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, so this one, personally, I found it really awful. There are 2 variations of this. I had heard of one of them, but not this one, which is slightly more niche. But anyway, it's called The Boats. Have you heard of The Boats?
The Boats? The Boats, as in the floating transport vessel?
Yes.
No. I have many ideas already.
Just spit some of those ideas. Also, can you come closer to your microphone? You've gone a bit quiet.
Sorry. Hello. So, The Boats. Part of me thinks, are we stood on 2 little boats, 1 leg in each, and that's it? So you're still trying to stand upright. Maybe there's piranhas in the water or something like that, and you're basically trying to stand up in 2 little boats.
And you've got piranhas like snapping at your bits in between. Yeah. That is not it. However, I don't know if that already exists. If it doesn't, then you just invented your own lovely torture method then.
I think I did, yeah. Mr. Bond. So. Here are the boats.
Bring out the boats. But the boats are asleep. Anyway. So the boats, where do we begin? The boats were a Persian torture method where the condemned prisoner would be... Okay, this sounds very pleasant at the beginning. Would be force-fed honey and milk. Mmm, delicious. but, I mean, like, we're talking...
A lot of honey and a lot of milk.
Yeah, large quantities. And I'm a fucking pig and I can eat, but, you know, it gets to a point where your stomach is probably just going to
This was mainly used against vegans.
Oh my god. I'm going to do it to you tonight. Anyway. And then they would also be coated in the honey and the milk. And the next step would be tying them into this boat, which I want you to envision a canoe, like a little kind mm-hmm. of wooden
thing. I can
thing.
Kind of see it. I can see it already. Yeah, with the curly ends.
Setting the scene. So they would then be left in the boat. And what would happen is, because of the large amount of milk, you'd end up getting extreme diarrhea.
Oh.
Yeah. And imagine, you know, you're just laying there, strapped down, bobbing around in the water, literally laying and festering in your own shit and piss and God knows what else. But the sweetness of the honey that's slathered all across your body is also attracting vermin and insects. And I'm sure at the beginning, you know, that maybe they'll just like lick your skin and start eating the honey. But eventually what happens is they start to eat your body and they go for the soft, fleshy bits first. So your eyes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so imagine having, like, and probably birds as well, actually, pecking at your eyeballs, maggots, and rats quite literally burrowing into your skin.
Yeah, I mean, you can survive a long time being eaten alive.
Yeah.
I know that. Who doesn't? Instantly makes me remember pretty much something like this that happened to me.
Except, what?
Well, I mean, I wasn't smothered in honey or milk.
Were you festering in your own poo?
Yeah, I had diarrhea on a super yacht. And I was extremely hungover and being sick. So, I mean, it's not quite the same because it was in Malta and I'd had too many Aperol spritzes. But, you know, I can relate.
I mean, it's not the same at all, but I appreciate
Mika
it tenuously.
In my own personal hell.
Mika on a 5-star holiday with with the squits on a yacht.
It was hell.
Didn't you also have another story about a yacht?
Yeah.
And fire. Do you want to tell
us? No. That was the same yacht.
Was it?
Yeah, so we went away for 3 days with friends on a super yacht. Somehow, I don't even know how that happened, and it was exquisite luxury. If anyone's seen Below Deck, it was exactly like that. We were the obnoxious customers, and it's back in the day. I should never really have been near such things, and we did get. We went out on the jet ski one day and me being a complete novice, I fell off, but I took the jet ski with me. And the captain tried to fix it and there was lots of oil in the water and it set fire and set fire to the end of the boat. And people had to jump off literally to save their lives.
So
the day before that though was the day that I got really drunk and then felt uneasy and unwell.
When you had
yacht.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't drink now, just so you know, viewers.
Do any of those people still speak to you out of interest?
Anyway, so the boats.
Moving on swiftly.
Would you? So what do you think? I think this sounds horrid.
I think I was so grossed out by the mental image of having maggots inside my flesh that I fucking hate insects. I've got a real phobia of anything like squishy as well. So yeah, for me, this was the worst one, I think.
Yeah, I think I have to join you in that. I think that it's like it's like your own death, but you're alive for it. So, yeah. I mean, you've got to give it to the Persians. That's a horrible way to go.
I love that you said it's your own death, but you're alive for it.
Yeah, it is though. It's like you're already dead, but you're alive.
Oh, I see what you mean. You're really experiencing every single, like, transitional moment to the other plane.
Worse than being buried alive, because, I mean...
Do you think so?
Well, like, what happens when you die? You poo yourself, you get eaten by maggots and rats, and that's what's happening.
But I guess if you're buried alive, you'd eventually run out of oxygen, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving it a 10 out of 10 for both.
Yeah, okay. I would be inclined to agree with you.
It's a good one. And its name is so, like, it doesn't give anything away.
Yeah, it's really misleading. You think that you're going on a 5-star luxury holiday on a yacht, but no.
Actually, you're having 3 days of hell. Oh my goodness, I so relate to that again. So, well done, Persians.
Oh dear. Right, so I think we've done our four, and we don't want to bore our new listeners by making this episode too long to begin with, but I guess we already know who was the worst, or which was the worst, rather, so it's the boats are in the lead at the moment.
Yeah, they're definitely a winner.
Which is the least... painful, the lowest ranking torture method so far.
I said the rack.
Yeah, because we felt it wasn't that original.
And also it would be quite nice.
Oh yeah, so... you actually wanted it to happen to you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, guys. So if anyone's out there...
You're just like inviting a serial killer into your house now.
What if I'm already it?
It's coming from inside the house.
Well, this was lovely. What a lovely chat. Yeah,
it was fun.
We should do this like in the morning for people, shouldn't we? Like with your cup of tea and your cereal and speaking about maggots burrowing into your innards.
Really setting the day off right.
Yeah. It's made me feel good.
Yeah, me too. I guess just to say, obviously, if you're listening still, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
We will do a follow-up to this. There are so many torture methods that God knows how many episodes we could do, but we'll see how it goes next week. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are Death Stuff Podcast. That's another thing. I don't even think I introduced the name of the fucking podcast at the beginning, which is a rookie error, but anyway. Give us a follow on Instagram. We've got 6 followers at the moment. Yay!
Woohoo!
Famous. And another thing that I wanted to say actually was a huge thank you to my friend Sean, who very kindly made the jingle for us, which you would have heard at the beginning, and I might play again because it's so good. That's Sean Cosgrove. I will put a link to his music and his social media so you can have a look, and if you require your own jingle, then reach out to him because he's fucking awesome. I gave him a very specific brief, and well, I thought it was specific.
He nailed it.
Like, I mean, it's perfect.
It's like all the music we used to listen to as teenage goths rolled into an 80s horror film in 1 minute.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you nailed it there.
Thank you.
So cool. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Bye.
Bye.
No, I'm joking. Well, I'm not, because it's actually the end, but anyway.
Goodbye.
We'll speak again. Bye guys, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.